Congratulations, everyone's going to become poor. Midas gets to be poor again, one more time. Yeah, apparently we're all not going to make it. Where is Bruce anyway? Is he on another... He told me he bought a pretty decent Starlink connector, or whatever the fuck those are called, and he would be less disconnected from us, but he has not been around lately to figure out what happened to him. Okay, so everything's going down, it looks like, for a little bit. So is this like the disbelief rally that gets that dip right afterwards and everyone apes in? Probably, because there's a whole lot of new attention, new volume in the space for everything. So I think like probably what will happen is you'll get your little dip and people will decide when their sort of like all-in moment is. And all the old school folks will be like, okay, the game is on. Let's jump in. And when will that actually happen? I don't know. Probably sometime in the next couple of weeks, I would imagine. It doesn't take too long. Because if you divide up like a cycle or so into like maybe 18 months or something like that, and let's say we've already started last month, or so, kind of like starting with the pump of Chainlink. Actually, it's been more than that, maybe like 6 weeks already. Then the clock is already ticking. And I was at a family event the other night, yesterday night, I'm sorry. And there was a couple of questions like, you know, what's this Bitcoin thing? What's going on with ETF? Blah, blah, blah. So like there's a little bit of that normie action going on. So we'll see if that turns into anything cool. If anyone wants to come hang out, feel free to hop up. Just chilling here. Let's see. So what are kind of like our primo dips over here? Well, I picked up Neutron at 64 cents. It's at $1.14 now. I think it'll continue to do well, but... It certainly has been on kind of a parabolic tear, and when things go on these parabolic movements, the drops can be just very impressive. Like you can drop like 10% in an hour kind of thing. Noticing a fair amount of Bitcoin correlation right now. So every time BTC takes a little bit of dip, every single chart on the market sees a little bit of a dip, and every time it goes up a little bit, it sees a little pop. So that implies to me that kind of like new money coming to the alt space is sort of slowed down and volumes are dropping on just about everything. So it's, you know, you're getting that kind of like Bollinger Band kind of tightening sort of behavior where volatility goes down, you know, the volume goes down and things kind of squeeze together, get boring for a little while. And that's cool. It happens over and over and over again. Every time it happens, you're like in this mode where it's like, well, how far down do things go? Let's look at some like case examples here. So Link as a good example because it's so technically traded, and it sort of like says something about the crypto space usually. So it Link's fib levels. So Link's bottom was like at 470. Its first fib that it had to break was like $8.40. And that was kind of the big level that kind of held it down for like the last 18 months. Then it popped to like the $12 level and it only sat there for just like, I don't know, maybe a week or two. And then it popped up to its next fib level, which is 15.8. Got rejected there twice now. It popped to as high as $17, but now fell back down to its 50-day moving average at $14. Its 200-day moving average, though, is down at like $8.81. But I think a rational place for this to for Link to drop might be like $12. Why? Because like the 200-day moving average should kind of meet $12 at about January 31st. And if price sort of trickles down right to that level to hit the 200-day moving average, kind of like colliding with it, that might be a pretty good pullback. Or, I don't know, I guess it's possible to just keep going up. You know, we were at the 50-day moving average both for Chainlink and for Zephyr, for example. And I suspect, let me pull up Atom too, some of the larger cap things. Atom's still riding fairly high above its 50-day moving average. It hit its sort of like second fib level on the way up back to prior high, and it sort of again got rejected right about there along with everything else. And things are looking okay for Atom. Let's see what else is happening here. Let's see here. But yeah, I think like if you're trying to scale into stuff, now that the alt space has sort of had its dips, it's probably not a bad idea, but bad idea to reevaluate everything and look and see what has dipped perhaps the most. So that's a general kind of concept I use. If you assume that like you have your price targets on your various things of where they could go, you'd probably want to pick up maybe the deepest discounts. Just because they drop does not mean that they are a bad coin. Smaller cap stuff is going to drop more than larger cap. That's just how it works. The volatility is just more at lower caps. So of all of the things that have dipped from their tops in their like recent run-ups, I would say Zephyr is the most obvious. It is now down like, let me look exactly what the number is. It's pretty good dip. Let's see. We are at, I remember, let's see. Okay. So yeah, it's down 58% from its prior high at 21.81. It's low in this local period was like around 19 something. I did get a bag at like 20 ish, which is good. My most recent buy is 25, was, you know, obviously a bit too high, but whatever. I'm sort of just like, you know, taking a stab at getting a little bit here and there. Let's see. So that one's kind of like the biggest drop. Kujira went to like $5.58 and dipped all the way down to $4.35. That was a fairly decent drop. Kujira, though, is kind of in price discovery area. I think as soon as the market starts moving up, it could pump quite a bit again. Its next fib level is like 10.26, which is kind of about a 2x from here. And, you know, if you can catch a bid like even as low as 2.84 again, that would be really lucky. But the last two times Kujira went to right about 2.84, which is kind of one fib level down, it got bought up quite quickly. You know, in a bull market, you're not guaranteed those kinds of pullbacks automatically, but it can happen. It happened once. Kujira went to 5, and then it dipped to like 274, and then now it kind of got rejected at its all-time high, and it's kind of just hanging out there. Oh, hey, yes, sir. What's going on, man? What are you looking at?
What's up, bro? Obviously, you love your Ziff, so I'm like, let me talk for a minute about it because I love Ziff as well. I'm convicted in the play. I think it will have like long term. I wouldn't say long term. I'm not really a long term holder. Like short, medium term, there's like a good money to be made there. No financial advice, obviously, but you know, like just think about it. Forget about the charts, guys. Okay, forget about technical analysis. Forget about AMAs, FIBs, everything. You're convicted in a play and it goes cheap. Why you don't buy it? Why you only buy it when it's expensive? If you're convicted, you believe in this play that is going to go higher and higher. It's going to go to, like, let's say $1 billion market cap, half a billion dollar market cap, whatever. all these numbers are like an easy 10x from here. More, obviously.
Okay? Yeah, of course. Yep.
Like, I'm obviously DCAing slowly. You know, I'm like, this is how I eat. I try and understand normal people, like, why they buy it when it's expensive at $50, they go crazy. When it's like $20, $21.
Well, we know why that happens, because if price goes up, they assume everyone likes it. So people like to be comforted by the idea that a lot of other people like their coin. But obviously, the less people that know about it early on, the easier it is for the new guy. So like, there is that. But I bought the top actually at the very beginning. So when I first heard about it, it hit $6, and it was literally the exact top. And you do tend to hear about stuff at the very beginning when like it moons, because when it goes up is when everyone's talking about it. So that is exactly why that happens. It's not so much that people don't want to buy the bottoms. It's just that they get introduced to the thing while it's going up, because everyone's talking at that moment. And then when it goes down, you see the least number amount of engagement. Like, let's say you do a spaces or whatever, you see the least number of people there on the way down. So, you know, like, that's human behavior. So the people that are here right now, they probably already understand this shit. Like, they're sort of like, they get it. They're crypto people, and they get it. You buy the dip, and you know that like when it goes up, that's when all the newbies show up and go, hey, what's this thing? That's part of it. I bought the top at like $6. It just moved from like $3 to $4 to $6. I'm like, oh, I don't know. I'm convicted though. It looks interesting. I'm going to get a bunch of it and, you know, held on. And then like it went to like 52, and I knew that would happen, because this is just how these small caps move. It's just whatever. Fully expected, in fact. It's not even like, you know, some kind of special miracle or magic or anything like that. It's just normal. That's why I bought it when I bought it. I'm like, it's got plenty of upside, and no surprises there. And then it pulls back, of course, and these things will pull back, you know, quite a bit. Like in the small market cap range, you'll pull back like anywhere from 50 to 70% or whatever. That's normal. It's hard to really be fully sure though. So like, let's say I bought some at $27, which I did, quite a lot. And then it's like, well, can it go down more? Sure. In a bullish market though, is it likely to go up further? Sure. So it's like, whatever. Okay. So I'm down a little bit from that buy. Then I got a little bit more at 27, and again at 27. And then the most recent time I picked it up at 25. I did get that previous $20 dip too, by the way. So yeah, I mean, even though I picked some up at six, I've been kind of dabbling and grabbing some. And basically my idea is that like, if it hits, you know, like some capitulation wick, like Bitcoin dips and everything goes to shit, and like maybe it hits $15 and boom, I'm in. I'll really go heavy. In fact, I might double my entire position at that level just for the fuck of it. That would be like a really like sort of all in level in a sense.
My trade for Zeph. I'll be honest with you. I'm planning to go heavy, bro. I'm highly convicted in the play. It makes sense for the future of privacy coins to have such a project, and it's still a low cap. I mean, like, it's below 50 million, you know? So that, for me, like, I'm like, just looking at it, I'm like, dude, this is amazing. Like, the cheaper it gets, the more,
yeah,
I'm gonna get.
It's kind of straightforward in that regard. Yeah.
With TA, there's not a lot of data, there's not that much of price action.
You know? It's not gonna be that accurate.
Yeah, like, I'm just looking at it this way, like, any number below $25, which is like, almost, you know, like a proper drop from the top, like, this is a good buy, you know, like, in my opinion.
I know that any buy I make can go into the red. Yeah, that's really simple. Like, any buy I make could go into the red. In fact, the first buy I made could have gone into the red quite a lot, right? I didn't know it was going to immediately pop. So some of that's just luck. That's all it is. And I think it's still a lucky time. I mean, we're beginning of a kind of bull market. Bitcoin halvings in April. Stock market's on the rise. Like, a bunch of cash in the world is on the sidelines. Only the like crypto crowd is here still. Like, the big crowds haven't shown up. And I think like, these really smart market cap things, you know, it's going to happen, right? Like, it'll pump again. It'll do some crazy move. And then what's going to happen? Like, people will be making YouTube videos and other bullshit. And then like, you know, then more crowd shows up, and then it kind of like, and then it'll dump, right? That's just what it's going to do. And, you know, more exchange listings and shit will come, and it'll just keep climbing. So I think like I think a good lesson would be, if you have a project that looks like it has good growth potential, I think the most recent lesson of how price can move would be like in this type of proof of work situation would be CASPA. If you look at the kind of dips it had on the way up, you can just pull up, anyone can pull up the CASPA chart, sort of look at it, look at the kind of moves it has and sort of see where, you know, where the drops are and, you know, is the hash rate healthy? You know, yes. Is the, you know, interest, you know, in the project increasing? Sure. You can tell by like the number of followers on Zephyr's Twitter or things like that. So there was this gigantic jump in followers on the Twitter handle for Zephyr, right? I don't know if you guys noticed that. It went to like 15K or something. And then like when the price dips, you know, everyone's depressed and shit. And like, you know, nobody ever wants to buy the drops. It's just this, just human psychology. Happens every time. People don't show up at spaces. People like, you know, so like the more, as much as you try to tell people about stuff at the bottom, it's like, Jesus, like nobody wants to buy any of the bottom. This is just standard like thing. And then they, and then they'll call you a shiller or something because you talk about the top and they weren't there the rest of the time. What's that?
That's how you make money in this stuff, bro. You buy at the bottom, you buy cheap. Yeah, it might get, you might get like a deeper dip. If you got more cash, buy again. If not, just sit in your hand and wait, bro. Like give it a couple of weeks, a month. It rises again.
Not even months. Like this sucker like can really do well over a period of probably a year.
I saw this thing. I bought it at 5-6, but I didn't, I usually smack crypto. I'm not gonna let you, like, I bought quite a lot of money in low caps. I didn't do it with this one, okay? My friends, they told me about it. Lubu, the guy next to me, and another dude, and they also told me about your account, and they're like, dude, you need to fucking get this thing, you know? And I'm like, oh, shit, it's in Mex-C, da-da-da-da, it's long.
I had the same problem. I was like, oh, shit, do I have to go to Mex-C? What is, bro, this bullshit?
I can't be pulling 5-6 figures in this sketchy exchange, you know?
Exactly, like, exactly.
Come on, look at this thing, man. At least Gate, I mean, can you at least put it on Gate exchange? I mean, like, so I bought some of it, and I saw it rallying in, like, what, 19 days, bro? 10x, man. I was kicking myself in the face, and now I'm happy that there's this good price about it.
The good news is, you know, like, it doesn't seem like people have had a lot of problems with Mex-C so far. I don't see a lot of complaints.
It's weird, though, isn't it?
I think it's okay. Yeah, I think it's okay.
There's no KYC, bro. Zero KYC in this thing.
Yeah, but, you know, Gate was a pretty sketchy thing, too, in the beginning.
At the beginning,
I remember being on Gate, too. It's like...
I do agree. Yeah, they paid like a fine recently. I don't know how much they paid, like a shit ton of money in fines. So,
oh really?
I mean, which is good. I mean, they should pay. They should move accordingly. But Gate is okay. Gate, I trust Gate more than Mex-C. I want Mex-C to do some KYC, some shit. Like they need to move some. They need to have some legal entity, you know, to fucking advise them how to.
I don't know what country they're in. Maybe they might be in Seychelles or somewhere where you don't.
This is what's scary, bro. Imagine this thing goes offline and your money's stuck there, bro. What are you gonna do when your Ziff goes parabolic and you got a fat bag, bro? You'd be crying, right?
Well, the good thing is there's more exchanges coming, so that's good, you know. So we'll see.
Yeah. It does have a wallet, doesn't it? I remember the Ziff have the wallet, doesn't it?
Especially if someone makes the a DEX, you know, that doesn't need the that doesn't need a centralized exchange. I think that'd be awesome.
Can you educate me about this topic, bro? Does Ziff have a wallet? I think it does.
Yeah. No, you should use the wallet for sure, man. Like, don't leave it on Mex-C, Jesus.
No, it's late. It's 4 o'clock. I'm talking to you from Dubai. It's 4 o'clock.
Oh yeah, no problem.
No, charming.
You want to use the wallet? There's a downloadable wallet on their site that works well, and then there's a web wallet that you can use also. Those work great. And then one of our friends, Dimitri, on here is finishing up the iOS wallet. And he and that should be coming out before too long. He's been releasing little test versions of it periodically. I think it's gonna make it a lot easier to use. And it's like you know, iOS is usually a secure place to do this type of thing. So, but yeah, that'll be fun. You definitely get it off Mex-C. There's no need to keep it on there. I move it off immediately, man. I don't know what that exchange is all about. So it's better to use it.
But it's funny because they have all the low caps, bro. I'll be honest with you, all the
they do.
Low caps are there, bro.
Apparently, they're really like releasing they're approaching various projects to release their stuff early on their platform to build their user base.
Has Zeph not mooned yet?
Not yet, Zen. It's looking. Oh. It's doing good though.
I need. I need someone, or preferably many, to DM me when sell time is, because I will forget.
When sell time? No, I'd leave it alone for about like At least a year.
I mean, I'm going to forget. This is why I need someone more responsible.
Just forget about it.
I mean, yeah.
I'll message you.
Are you responsible enough to remember? Are you going to put that down somewhere? Or
probably so. Yeah, it'll be like, I'd say a good time would be to mess with it would be like, don't even like put in a little alarm for yourself, maybe in like, I don't know, 12 months or something. We'll see where it is.
No, yeah, it's just
got so much upside.
So I can't do that.
It's not worth
it. I need you to
do that. Yeah.
I need you to put an alarm.
All right, fine. I'll tell you. Yeah, I sent Zin a little bit of free Zef just to kind of like start her out and show her how it works and shit. And she sorted it out and then picked her
well,
up.
Well, so, okay. So. Well, hold on. She sent me $30, essentially.
$30.
I put $400.
Yeah,
I put $400 in it. Okay. Just to clarify, because I know Steffi comes in here and says a little, when he says a little bit of money, he's like talking about some. So I just want to clarify.
Remember when I said
$30?
It was worth like 50. It was 50.
The coin. He doesn't need to send you a dollar. He introduced you to a coin that's a gem, which is going to do absolutely fucking crazy price action.
No, wait. No, I am grateful. I just don't want people in here thinking.
She's just messing with me.
Yeah, because Steffi says little bits of money, and it sounds like he's talking about like millions. So I just wanted to clarify, like, I'm not a sugar baby. I just wanted to, I'm not ungrateful. I'm grateful.
There's nothing wrong with being a sugar baby, you know? I live in Dubai. A lot of sugar babies here. All right.
No, it was mostly just.
I'm curious. Where did you buy though? I don't know how to say your name. I'm so sorry.
What did I buy? Would I put the 400?
No. Which price action did you buy? Like, where? What's your entry? I'm just curious.
At $30.
Yeah, you're good. It's not bad.
It's good.
Just wait. Chill. Stay in your hand. Learn the art of doing nothing.
Zin's been around for a little bit. She gets it, I think.
I've been around for a lot of bit. Yeah.
So, yeah, it's all getting started. This is kind of like, we're joking about how everything's sort of dipping a little bit right now, which is pretty normal right before sort of like bull markets and stuff start. There's a little bit of a flesh out of people that are like, because a lot of the existing, crypto-rati or whatever you want to call the people that sit around all the bear market and shit, they sort of know like bull markets are coming. So they tend to take on a lot of leverage. So they'll go and like buy all their shit on leverage, thinking that someone else is going to pump their bags for them. And because of that, that has to be sort of liquidated out. And, when sell pressure happens, dips can be pretty aggressive. So once you sort of like wipe out a few of those people, then I think like the next dip gets bought really aggressively. It's kind of like the bull market has been sort of announced to have begun, but then like that first flush is where everyone's like, all right, I'm going all in, bro. Like, just go nuts. So I think that time has yet to come. So the next wave tends to be the like big gigantic move on most of these things. And Bitcoin halving's April. They got that ETF thing by February or whatever. So there's going to be kind of like this audience building up over there.
I don't mind to interrupt you, but the ETFs are not in February, my friend. The ETFs are we've got one in 1st of January. We've got a few at 10th of January, got a couple at 15th of January. So it's quite a lot of deadlines and literally a few fucking days, bro.
No, that's good. Yeah, that's good. Like
bullish.
And the more separated they are, the better. Cause it just increases the news cycle, right?
I think they're going to delay it. I don't think they're going to approve it at January, but just the speculation side of it is definitely going to bring volatility to the market.
Oh yeah. Who cares if they actually approve it? it's the speculation that matters, right?
Yeah. I do see Bitcoin having a little pullback though. Like it's a healthy pullback to 36, 37, quick one. Liquidate all the leveraged traders who are probably not using a stop and over leveraged. And if you do the math, 100x or 50x, whatever, everyone's gonna get absolutely wrecked below 38. And it goes hand in hand with price action as well. From there, I think it's gonna go Valhalla based on the speculation of ETF. Everyone's gonna like, oh my god, ETFs are gonna come in. We need to fucking front run BlackRock, man. Come on, we need to buy these bags. And I think it's gonna go to like 48 or 50. And Zef is going to go also Valhalla.
Yep. So we're only like, 50 mil market cap or 60 mil right now. It's really quite low. So plenty of room for growth. Zin, you're going to have to tweet about Zephyr 6 million times a day, by the way. Because when your bag, like 100x yes. and stuff, you're going to be like, oh, I'm rich and whatever. So it's good. You can buy yourself a car or something.
I remember when I made a year's worth of rent off of Doge. That felt good.
Nice. Did you sell and like actually pay the rent, or are you on the street now?
Yeah, I'm on the streets. No, I don't know. Hey, it goes into the boxes goes in the bank.
Yeah, as long as you got like cover this, like you don't get too much sun on your head, right? Like you're good.
Dude, that feeling, man. I get why so many people quit their jobs. I just feel like it's like so lame to be a crypto person as your job.
But you do know the magic about Zeph, right? When it moons, no one knows you have it. That's the magic. So I'll tell you what to do with it after.
Wait, where are we going with it? Are we going into tax avoidance combos, or what are we doing here on this recorded space?
No, of course not, dude.
What did you mean by that?
Dude, you just got yourself flagged. See what you've just done?
Wait.
Christ. Like, shush.
Wait, you're the one who said it.
What is wrong with you? Oh, man. I didn't say it.
I don't know.
I said we were going to be getting, like, you know, shit on Amazon.com. Not nothing like that now.
Oh, okay.
We're going to be buying ourselves some Tupperware, new forks and spoons, like a whole new set. Like, whatever silverware you're using right now is shit. You're going to get new silverware.
Siffy, is that how you say your name? Siffy?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, how do you what do you stand on, what's it called? RTW, or real world tokenization, okay?
Oh, real world assets or whatever? Yeah.
Yeah, that hype. How do you, what's your... I want to tackle your brain, bro. Like,
I think only the only credible companies that are going to do that well are people already in that already deal with real world assets. So, like, let's say, for example, real estate, right? Like, it's going to be something like
you should look at Poly for Poly. You know,
what I'm saying is you have to have a gigantic previous history of like trust in the real world in order to actually tokenize that shit. So for example, like let's say it's a title company for real estate, they might be able to tokenize something. Or like, let's say it's you have like gigantic vaults of gold or something, and that's your industry. And then like people already trust you for that. And then you tokenize your gold. Okay, that could get that. But like random blockchains and shit doing this, I don't see it happening. Because who's going to trust the blockchain people?
Look at Poly. I'm trying to tell you.
What do they do? But why would you trust them to?
They've been around for like 2 years, bro, and it's built by the Matic team, bro. Quite connected. Just check it out. I don't want to show you this stuff. You gave me a
gem. I get it, but I understand your research. But my point is, like, having seen so many of these. To get adoption of that, you have to trust that company. Yeah,
you need existence in the business. I'm fully aware of what you're talking about. That's why I'm telling you, check out this project. It's worth your research.
How much do they manage right now? Like,
I'm not on my desk right now, but it's a huge, huge deal, bro. They've got a lot of assets under their belt. The team is like really organized.
My RWA play is pretty much Chainlink. They're with the biggest Linky. Yeah, it's because they're working with the biggest companies. That's why. Yeah, so if someone's going to achieve this, it's going to be people that have been working like the last 10 years and like connecting with like various TradFi companies.
No, I've got you. But low caps, bro. Everyone is like
low cap, yeah.
To make their money in low caps. Like Stinky Icky Linky is going to go to three figures. That's like, you know, like it's,
yeah.
For me, and it's like. That's it. It's gonna happen. There's no ways around it, bro.
The thing is, like, our real world asset shit. Like, I don't know how much of a, like, I don't know how meme, like, how much people are gonna like follow that narrative. I think the general public honestly doesn't give a shit. Now, it's not to mean that like everything
is bloody think, bro. Like, starting going crazy with tokenizing shit and like after the ETF.
Yeah,
you know, BlackRock is not gonna stay on this hand, bro. They're gonna go crazy with tokenizing assets and investing in this, investing in that. That's why we're seeing the hype. But most of the stuff that is in crypto right now is rubbish. I totally agree with you. It's garbage. This is not gonna happen. But there's a few good calls there. And Polly, I think Polly is one of them. I'm quite bullish on this coin.
Okay. P-O-L-Y.
Yeah, Polytrade.
Okay. Polytrade. Interesting. Okay. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I have no idea who's going to be successful. Usually, like, there will be some players that are successful for sure. Which of those, like, of the gajillion coins it turns out to be, it's very hard to tell. During bullish markets, one thing we notice is that, like, everyone thinks, like, whatever their project is going to be the most amazing thing in the universe. And you know how it is. Like, a lot of those quite legitimately went to zero that seemed like good ideas, too. So it's hard to tell, man. It's really tough. But in a bull market, you know, everything pumps. It's, like, narrative-based. So it might be a good speculative play either way. Who knows? Who knows? But, yeah, there's certain narratives that seem to be, like,
how about BRT20s building in Bitcoin? What do you think about that? That was crazy, bro. The past month I've been fucking mental.
And yeah, did you buy a lot of that stuff or what?
Bro, I've had a fat bag of Ordi, man, and I tripled in that, and I was just looking at it. I sold it at like 30, 35, 40. I was so happy, and then I just looked at it again after a week. I'm like, what the actual fuck? Like, this thing. What happened? Bro, it went from, I sold it around $30, $35. I was very happy for booking my profits. And it went to fucking $65 in a week, bro. Like, this is crazy. I also had like a bag of Alex, same story. Alex was crazy. Also spending on Bitcoin.
That's how it works.
Yeah, you can never have a perfect trade where you buy the low and sell the high, obviously. But yeah, I'm quite bullish on BRC20s, man. I think there's a lot of shit happening in that side of crypto, bro. Like, is the maxis, they don't like it, but they still buy it, you know, because they're trying to make more Bitcoin. And you've got the NFT guys just going into fucking building NFTs on Bitcoin. It's a lot of hype, bro. And this is the industry we're in. It's built on hype, mainly.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's all, yeah, there's a ton of hype. This is why, like, I do, so in crypto, I think I do love it when I find something really, really useful that I know for sure I'm going to use. And then on top of that, like, nobody's heard about it yet. And on top of that, it's undervalued compared to, like, you know, where the rest of the world is with it. And like, and there's like literally no ill will involved with like shilling the thing, right? Like that, like, I think that's what I like about things like Zephyr. The real world assets and a whole lot of other stuff, I just don't know, like, you know, can I actually tell my friends about it? Not so much because like it couldn't go up in price, but like, you know, it's really tough to tell whether it's worth like shilling it in a sense to friends and family. And it's nice when you find something that's really like you feel like legitimately convicted about, that's acceptable. And not that it's, you know, zero risk or whatever, but just
How about gaming, bro? What do you think about gaming, the narrative behind it?
Ooh, I think there'll be some really exciting gaming things. Again, it's the same story. It's like a lot of gaming shit last bull run, like really mooned, but then truly went to really zero. I mean, like 99% retracements and stuff. So, most of the valuations of the things end up pumping to like, you know, Valhalla, in a sense, purely speculation. How many of those are really going to do something really useful or not just video game vaporware? You do have to understand the video game industry, though. Like, if you've been around it a very long time, like I have, like, people used to come up with vaporware all the time. Like, they'd publish, like, some website that they're building some game, and the whole gaming community would get all excited about it, and that shit would never come out. Like, it'd be some interesting, like, RPG or some bullshit. And it would never come out. It would be like, but there was not a.
But don't you think that this is the cycle that they're gonna come out? Because I'm also
What I was gonna say is though, like back in those days, though, you could create vaporware, but like nobody's actually invested any money into it, right? It's like the only letdown you got was the game didn't get released. But what happened like the last few years is like gaming tokens and shit, like a lot of different projects created. Like this spin that like, okay, invest in our thing and we'll maybe use the tokens to kind of plug it into the ecosystem and sell NFTs and shit. And like maybe fund development. And it became like this ICO thing where like people would fund their new companies on crypto. And like the hope would be that you'd have like your video game show up in the token moons and all that shit, right? But what ended up happening was is like they got speculatively pumped to infinity. but with no actual like real, you know, significant product. And the same thing is happening now, by the way. A lot of the things are going to pump like crazy, probably for sure. But then like how many of those are just going to like not turn into actual games? Probably a lot. Like or at least nothing you're going to find worth playing. So the video game industry,
my play is to focus on layer twos that are going to be used for building games, you know, not the actual games.
Yeah, I think the actual games, like stuff like Saga and stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah. Like lately, I've been bullish in Maria. I've done really good in Maria. I think it still have room to grow. I'm still studying more like low caps. Just on this narrative, you know, like layer twos where they're gonna use this shit to build games or whatever. Because the actual games, bro, if you dive deep in them, bro, like it doesn't make sense. Like these games are like they look good, you know, but they're not out there. And I'm like, okay, what are you waiting for? You should like release your shit. I don't know, they just look like perfect rug pulls.
Vaporware for sure. And the existing video game industry doesn't get into crypto because when you include like a real world value to your in-game assets, most of the time it ruins the game unless the game was very, very specifically designed for real world dollar valuations of the products within the game. That's a very
complicated thing. You actually believe that the gaming industry will not be integrated in crypto?
No, that's what the reason why they have not been so far, because existing big titles,
centralization,
they don't blend well with assets that derive real world value, because it ruins the video game. Like I've been doing video gaming for decades now, and this is the issue. So there's a very like specific like mental model for video games that brings in new users, and new users don't come in for moon coins. They come in for the great game. And when you make the assets within the game go up in value because you can trade them and shit, then the new player can't afford the new video game assets because they become priced out of the game. So video games, the problem with creating like, say, NFTs in them or some sort of real world money is that you cause a deflationary situation where it's like harder and harder and more expensive in terms of real world cash to actually play the game at a competitive level. So then what happens is no new users will show up. So in fact, the opposite happens. In video games, you dramatically inflate away the value of your previous items and gold or whatever, so that you keep escalating, like the like it makes it easy for the newcomer to show up. And that's a very big different dynamic. And so there's those kind of games. Then there's like the very like casual games that like a Diablo or something, where it's like introducing a speculative asset into it could be done, but at the same time, there's also regulatory shit, because if you are like if you have assets within the game that actually have real world value, then now you have to worry about like child labor laws and all the other shit that happens with video games. It's complicated, but like there's a lot of shenanigans that happen when you introduce money into video games globally. And a lot of those video game manufacturers make really good money as it is. It's like literally they make more money than the movie industry now, I think. And so they have like tons of cash flow coming in. They don't need crypto to do any of that shit. So it's a gargantuan industry already. So I think what will happen is crypto games will be crypto native, and there's going to be some great games that get created, surely. I mean, there's so much liquidity there. Like, obviously, people can make games. I just don't think the pre-existing video games, like, let's say, a Fallout or, like, a World of Warcraft or something like that, is going to go this route predominantly. But I do think games will be made that, like, that replicate, say, the RuneScape experience or something like that, or EVE Online or some of these things. Like, probably something like that will be done within the crypto space, and it will eventually become big. The trouble is, like, for the new user, like, how do you know if Star Atlas is going to be that big thing? How do you know if, like, I don't know, you know, it's going to be a lot of pumping and dynamics. And, of course, Alex Becker is really a big fan of, like, oh, you got to get into gaming, man. Like, it's going to be the thing that pumps at the end of the year and all that stuff. And that's quite possible it will. In fact, like practically everything in crypto pumps. It's like just some things pump more than others. And then you also have to see, like, how much you're going to allocate, because, like, some of those things, as they start going up, you're like, wait a minute, like, I don't want to be dumped down by these retards. Like, right. So you have to figure out, you know, which is going to have the holding pressure over the long run. And I think that's the problem with a lot of the gaming coins, is they pump so much that, you know, like, if you get in at the wrong time, you can get fucked pretty badly. That's the only problem with them. But it's all early right now, I think. It's, you know, if you're going to do your research, it's probably not too late for all of that. Real world assets, gaming, the whole nine yards. You could really, like, find a lot of stuff still, especially if we get a little dip here. Like you said, like, if we get a little bit of a pullback, although we kind of did get a bit of a pullback, so I don't know if we just start taking off again. But, yeah, definitely people can start looking at their conviction plays, have some fun. It's a good time. But, yeah, what I like about sort of parking it in Zeph is that when you I like the hidden aspect of it. I think, like, a lot of people are going to find utility in that, and it won't just be me. That's the thing. Like, and it works. The video game of Zephyr already works. You know, it's not like Vaporware. That's the other thing. You don't have to have a special promise of maybe something that works some point in the future. We know it works now. It works pretty good. So, like, you know, in that sense, like, there are certain things I'd rather be in for the long term, and this is one of them. There's some other ones, like, I would say, if you get a good pullback on Kujira, like, that team is really doing an amazing job, you know, building one of the nicest kind of, I call the video game arcades. All of DeFi is just a video game arcade anyway. It's a bunch of shit coins that you play around in and various dApps with their tokens, and everyone wants to get in first. Then they pump, and then everyone wants to exit, sell those and dump them and buy more of the L1 token of that particular ecosystem. So if the video game arcade is really high end, like Kuji's is a beautiful sort of interface, you know, people are going to come to that interface and they're going to keep playing games there. Why? Because they prefer that interface compared to a lot of others. So the last 5 years, the user interface for most of crypto has blown. Like, MetaMask sucks. I can barely care about going to MetaMask to do anything. If I have to open my MetaMask wallet up, I'm like, Jesus, like, don't make me do it. Like, and then, of course, there's the smart contract risks that are much more heavy on Ethereum, too. So, like, if you have a big bag of Ethereum, you can't even take your goddamn wallet there without having possibility of some rug pull on your entire wallet drain, right? If you sign the wrong contract. So that's dangerous. You don't have nearly as many sort of wallet drain events like in Cosmos and stuff. So, like, I think the Kujira ecosystem looks pretty interesting from a UI UX perspective, and I think that'll drag in tons of video game players to play on the various tokens, screw around, and it's also not a inflationary token. It's one of the few tokens in Cosmos that they were able to build their model around, like, just the transactions on the network to pay the validators. So the validators aren't very profitable on Kujira because they're not getting much inflationary yield off of the tokens like most Cosmos chains. So that's kind of another selling point. It's sort of like a store of value aspect to it, which, you know, makes Kuji token tend to go up. And right now it's only like, I don't know what it is, like 500 mil market cap or something. And so that could easily do a further 10x. So I've got my Kuji bag that I'm just sitting on and watching it. And I think it'll be an easy one, relatively speaking. Like, you get a sense of these things after a while. The bottom line is, if you have a good wallet experience, you have a good user experience on the platform, and you can do all the fun DeFi bullshit, you can trade, you can leverage, you can do this, that, you know, it'll attract people. It's just a matter of waiting. That's it. So that would, like, Kujira is probably a nice moon bag for the next, like, it's probably a straightforward, maybe 10 or 20x actually, over the next, let's say, year and a half.
It's $500 million market cap. You know, to say, like, it's a 10x, it's going to go to $5 billion.
Yeah, but here's the thing. Like, yes, it's a little bit big now, but the reality is it is, I would say, 95% better than 99% of the shit in the space. So, like, so while...
The technology is superior. I totally agree with you. There's a lot of tech.
Yeah, so the user experience is just fantastic. Those guys, and not only that, but remember, the Kuji team, their dApps worked great even during the Terra crash, meaning, like, their shit works. So, like, so they're really good. And I've talked to the teams multiple times, and Dead Right and all the people there. And, you know, the only criticism they have is that they've stayed closed source, and they've done that because they don't want people to steal their shit before the, you know, they want to, like, keep it closed and for a while so to make sure that, like, nobody steals their ideas and just copies all their shit, because they're really good builders. So, and the fact that they ship so quickly too, man, Jesus, like you name a thing and they build it, right? Like, it's like, they're really good programmers, obviously, just by talking to them and what they've created. And they're a relatively small team too, which is good. Like, you don't have a gigantic group of, like, dumpers that are ready to dump on you. So it's a really good overall ecosystem that they've done with relatively low financing. And I think it's a, yeah, I would definitely, compared to most things in crypto, I would say one of the better user experiences I've seen. Terra was really good the previous season. It still is. Kuji's at least as good. And the user interface, the visuals are even better, I think. So the people like to play video games, and I think that's going to be one of the games they're going to play a lot of. So I think it's not very difficult for L1s, by the way, to reach like, 5 to 10 billion market caps during the bull market. That's fairly straightforward. Many of them will do that. Obviously, you know that many of them will stay there. They'll drop. But I think you have a lot of gas left in the tank on Kujira. I'm not suggesting that it's not necessarily that's a great time to buy it right now necessarily. It might need to pull back possibly. But it just went from like $5 to like 280. So people had a pretty good opportunity. Remember on those log scale charts I post, it's on the log scale. So like a 50% drop looks like not a big deal. But that's a pretty good drop in a bull market. And I think people did pick that up. So we'll see. But I'm just leaving my bag alone. I'm not really adding to it personally. I'm happy with where I'm at with my Kujira. Wabi, you there?
What's up, bro? For some reason, man, like I'm not able to send a request to speak on my personal profile for whatever reason, man. Did you read my
message? Oh, you can't request to speak?
Yeah, on my personal. Yeah.
Oh, I tend not to look at the messages while I'm talking because it's hard to do both on my phone or whatever. Yeah. Sorry about that.
Yeah.
But yeah.
It's okay, man. It's all right. So I'm gonna go back on my personal, dude. Just look at the audience and send me a co-host when you see my personal, brother.
Oh. Yeah. We'll try again.
Okay.
Sometimes just close out the app and come back in. That usually solves it. Anyway, yeah, Wabi's had some connection issues there. But yeah, it's a the thing is also like which are the projects that the really big crypto accounts feel comfortable talking about? You know, because like once you get these like larger crypto accounts, like 150,000 plus followers, you know, which are the ones that those guys will be able to comfortably, quote unquote, shill without feeling like, you know, they're getting uncomfortable with, you know, what they're talking about. And I think that says a lot, too. So like while some things can do a pump, the giga pump stuff has to be the stuff that like the hardcore big accounts don't mind talking about. Rune was a good example recently. Wabi, I have no idea, but I'm trying to get you to add. It just nothing happens. It just has invite to speak, and I hit the button, and nothing happens. Anyway, Oscar, did you notice any other interesting plays lately? What's your bag looking like? What do you have?
Dude, I'll be honest with you. I cashed out everything literally 5 days ago, sort of. So I trade for a living, and I manage equity for like private investors here in Dubai, got private equity, and also do like business with an institution in the US called Coinbase Reserve. So I'm very like, you know, like if I see my P&L growing and I see the charts being a bit saggy, I'd rather like, you know, get out and take that money, you know, and not to risk a sneeze in Bitcoin that's gonna wipe
off. Do you tend to move out at like what a 2x or something and then kind of like wait?
So I did have plays where I made 8x, 5x, 10x, 3x. It's different. But now I'm fully in Tether. I've tethered like 5 days ago. And the market did pump after my decision for like a day or two. And I was like, oh shit, look at that, you know? But it was okay. Now I'm just like, okay, I'm happy. Yeah, there's blood in the street. I like that. Go on, more blood. So I can buy it. So I'm looking at the charts. It's not even Monday yet, you know.
You can tell like, you know, the volume starts to bleed off and
it's lovely, bro. I love it, man.
The CT gets a little bit less, like, you know, less people start posting.
I'll tell you like, that when I talk to normies about crypto and I'm like, dude, that's how you do it. You buy blood and you wait and then it pumps and then you sell. You know, like there's no trading here. You shouldn't be doing what I'm doing. I'm too extreme, but just use your brain. Buy it cheap, so they're expensive. And they're like, no, like this is a rug. Haven't got a clue about crypto, obviously. Everything is a rug for them. Next thing, a month later, this thing goes fucking parabolic. They're buying it. I'm like, bro, are you serious? Like, oh, mate. So you can't really, Like I sensed your tune. You're quite educated. You're very genuine. You're trying to add value. You host these spaces. I've been to your spaces more often. Doing your best to educate and teach people how to actually like do this properly. And you should keep up because that's you. I think you're genuinely this kind of human being. Because I try and do the same thing in my Arabic community and with Arabic speakers. It feels nice when you just add value. You know, like just be you. But no matter how hard you're gonna work on add value, crypto will always be like this. Like it's sad, you know. Yeah, a lot of people lose money because just never buy the dip. That's it. Just buy the pump.
Yeah, some people never learn anything.
Zephy, can you hear me?
Yeah, you're good now, Wabi.
Oh my gosh, what's going on with the prices? The prices are crashing. The prices are dipping. I don't know what's going on here. Today for the Bitcoin price, as you can see here, we have lost all moving averages. We are closing now below daily support. We are breaking weekly support. As you can see here, sellers, absolutely.
There you go.
Zephy, what have you got for us today? I'm really excited for us to be here on the show today. We have a special guest called Yusef. I see some of our usual audience members in here. As always, guys, smash up that like button, retweet the space. I hope you enjoy the show. Let's get on the road. Zephy, what are we talking about? We're seeing Adam. We're seeing Kujira. We're seeing Zeph. We're seeing Celestia. We're seeing a bunch of red across the market.
Zero.
What is going on?
Everything's going to zero.
I see, and I see some people are giving me a thumbs down. Well, I'm sorry to say.
Last week is going to infinity, Wabi. This week it's going to zero.
Yeah, I keep on seeing that it's all over. I have no idea what is going on today for the Bitcoin price. Prices are not reactive to the Santa Claus rally. Perhaps we see some resolution to this next week. I'm seeing some data.
Wait a minute, Wabi. Have you done something? Has Santa Claus, is he punishing us because of you? Is that what's going on here? What kind of sins have you committed, Wabi? That's the question. I'm pretty sure we're being punished because of Wabi. And look, the internet's rugging him because he's done something bad, and we don't know what it is.
It's the Matrix, bro. It's the Matrix.
Yeah, the Matrix is taking him down. He was being a little too bearish there, and it was like, no, that's not good. The crypto Twitter people are listening in the background. Like the new Twitter is going to censor you if you say bad things, maybe bearish things that are not good for anybody. It's actually kind of funny. Like, there's this kind of vibe where it's like, I don't know, Chainlink went from like $17 to $14, and people are in like this weird like mood. Like, what's going on over here? Like it took like 18 months for the thing to go from like $8 or something like that to break out to 14. Like, what are you guys talking about? Like,
okay, it seems that I have regained the connection. I'm not sure what is going on.
Oh, thank God, Bobby.
An email that says liquidation notice and margin call. I don't know what that is, but I'm anticipating some wild, wild volatility. We all need to strap in and get ready. It's time to get out of bed. Not schedule our Forbes interview and stay within the sandbox. The number one thing you don't want to do is get outside the sandbox. We're not out of the woods yet. Okay, so it's time to pay attention.
Wabi, have your normie friends, or do you have any normie friends? Have they asked you about crypto yet? At the gym, for example.
Unfortunately, until the Bitcoin price starts trading above $69,000 sometime in Q4 next year, normies will not be interested exactly as predicted.
Ken, not on a troll level, but you actually think Bitcoin is going to go to $69,000 only in Q4?
Yeah, I think we're going to break $69,000. And then we're going to start off, we're going to start off the year, in January 1st, 2025 at probably 75, to 80K. And then we're going to end the year at double that price. And then in 2026, we all go back to kingdom come.
Have you seen other cycles in Bitcoin?
Yeah, we always top out. in late Q4 or early Q1.
Wabi has memorized the price of Bitcoin for every month.
Yeah. So we statistic so listen, like so that. Listen, so listen, we topped out in 2013 in November, and then we topped out in December of 2017, and then we topped out in November of 2021. And then for total market cap in the 2017 cycle, we actually peaked in January 2018. So my theory is that 3 to 6 months before Jerome Powell finishes his second term, we all get sent down to Kingdom Come. So in late 2025, early 2026.
Can you elaborate? Because from you're very smart, brother. I can tell.
Okay.
Can you elaborate? Maybe you can share some alpha to other people.
Yes.
Are you talking about cutting rates on the Federal Reserve?
Yes.
Are you talking about
Yes, Habibi, mashallah. So listen,
you're connecting the whole bull market to cutting rates, basically.
No. I'm just.
There's nothing wrong with that. I'm just trying to understand your analogy here.
No. So my analogy is that we always peak in Q4 in the post-halving year, right? That's just the way it is. I'm not sure, you know, why that is, but I guess it's like it has to do with a lot of our monetary policy, in the sense that, like, you know, we're no longer going to go through multi-year recessions. It's just going to be quick bull markets, quick bear markets, and crypto is like the new paradigm, right? Every 4 years, each peak gets bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger, right, until it flips the bond market. At least that's like my super prediction for like 2045, 2040, something like that, right? So I think at some point crypto is going to experience a multi-year bear market. And by bear market, I mean consistent downtrend, because crypto has never experienced a multi-year downtrend, right? Like, even if you look at like Bitcoin and Ethereum, right? Like, the bear market of 2022 really only lasted a couple of weeks, right? After Luna and UST went to zero, we hit 17K on BTC and then 800 for Ethereum, right? On Father's Day, shocker. And, you know, I know we bottomed at 15K for Bitcoin, but, you know, 15 to 17K, I mean, it's not that big of a drop. Right? No, 17 to 15K, not that big of a drop. But for altcoins, it's a different story, right? Like, a lot of them made new lows after FTX and then had that crazy rally in Q1. And then they just bled to Kingdom Come against Bitcoin, right? Like, even Injective, right? Like, Injective, most of the price action happened.
Can I tackle your brain with ETFs, though? Where do you stand in ETFs and the hype behind it?
Honestly, man, I'm shutting off my brain for this cycle, because I did so much like technical fundamental work, and then like, and that was after I found like the biggest winners, right? Like, it's all documented on this podcast I used to do. If you go on Spotify and you put the Block Street Bros, if you look at the first episode in February 2019, I go on to say that the best tokens that are going to perform are Dogecoin, ADA, and maybe Phantom, right? And I had bags of all of that. But then when COVID hit, you know, I started.
You fumbled all that shit.
Oh, dude, to Kingdom Come, dude. And that was because I turned on my brain.
Too much thinking.
Yes. And this time.
Need a left curve.
Yeah, dude. And this time I turned off my brain, right? Like, when Celestia came out and, you know, I saw all these guys, all these like technical fundamental guys talk about like, oh, but the seed investors, you know, they have all their stuff staked and they're earning yield, they're gonna dump on you. And it's like, the thing is called Celestia, and the founder hacked the CIA and he was banned from using the internet, and the guy who like speaks for Celestia looks like the Giga Chad meme, right, Nick? And he also built out a chain, right, called Harmony, that went to a multi-billion dollar market cap. So he knows how to, like, you know, create hype. And these guys are always doing spaces. They're always doing streams. They're always doing meetups. They like meme culture, right? So, you know, it was like two and two together, right? Like, if somebody smart says, wow, hold on, Wabi, look at the unlocks next year. Look at the unlock. This is, you know, VC project. I'm like, bro, what are we talking about here, man? This is a market where you had a frog coin go up 1,000x in like 2 weeks. And you want to talk to me about like unlocks, brother? Really? And like, I remember, I even remember having this conversation.
Yeah, exactly.
I even remember having this conversation when Naka was on our show. And we were both saying like WorldCoin is probably going to go into the top 10 just because of the meme, Sam Altman and AI. Like, who cares about FDV? Like, that's a meme for now, right?
And not to mention, by the way, there are ungodly, and I mean ungodly level developments coming out with AI
So
that stuff's going to like dominate the news cycle for the next like decade to come. And every Google search is going to have something AI and some crypto shit built in so that people can speculate. It's all about that.
Yeah. And, you know, on top of that, like, I think like the next batch of QE, which is probably going to happen in 2025, the first things that pump like crazy is like anything that you see in the top like 20, right? And then you get your little pump, and you get some airdrops, and then, you know, you buy your other altcoins, right? Like, Solana is handing out stimulus checks, man, right? And I got all my guys on Solana from $8 to $12. It's all documented, and that's why we're the best, right? We call it how we see it. And, you know, I think Solana is going to do the same thing that XRP did to ETH in 2017, and I think it's going to flip it. And we're already seeing like the activity happen without access stimulus, right? Like, there's no easy policy here in America. Like, American retail isn't really here, right, as they were like from 2019 to 2021, but Asia is, right? Africa, even some parts of Africa are, dude. Like, you know, there's a few guys that like they played around with one Solana, and one Solana, you know, in Africa is like huge, right? And they got the Jito airdrop, brother, and that was like tens of thousands of dollars, right? So I think like it's going to take BTC and ETH breaking all time high, and then we'll see America pile in. But by the time that happens, like, you know, prices are going to be a lot higher. At least for like the altcoins that, you know, we're playing with right now, right? So,
I have a question. I don't know if you guys talked about it, but have you guys talked about like the cup and handle on S&P? And if there is like a blow off top, there's anything could go to like 590?
So a blow off top, like, are you talking about like,
well, it's a cup,
fourth
it's
fireworks cup. Or something?
Yeah, they're saying like next few months it could be. Well, if it plays out, if the cup and handle plays out, they're saying you can hit like 590.
Yeah.
If S&P's there, where do you guys see crypto going?
So
from the stock angle, before we jump to that, from stock angle, I bought like everything this last year with the anticipation of all the sideline cash sort of piling into equities,
yeah.
You know, with all that printed money. And it's just a simply matter of when. So I bought everything, and everything's been popping off so far and doing really well. And I didn't get the like the top players. I got all the stuff that's like the Russell stuff that was all just sort of completely wrecked. And those things are putting in serious multiples already. I've got stuff that's like up 100%, and, you know, like a substantial portion of the assets I bought are up 40-50% already this year. And that's just spot buys, no leverage, no nothing. So I do think like I got in early to all that because I bought the very bottom of every chart like I could possibly find. And I think all the people are going to be like showing up to pump my bags on the stock market side of things. And if that does really well, obviously the indirect effect is like people feel rich and then they start playing the crypto video game too.
Yeah. I know some guy, he apparently like manages some weird fund worth billions. And he told me like 2 weeks ago that we'd have like a gamma squeeze to 5,000 plus for the SPX end of year. Yep. And next year is basically going to be exactly how 2023 played out, sort of like an echo bubble. So like even my guys, right, we kind of think, you know, we rally hard for like the first half of Q1 mostly, and then probably have some sort of like cool down distributive period. And then when the Fed cuts rates, we probably go to Kingdom Come for like a couple of months, just chop downwards.
Wabi, you'll know we've gone too high if my portfolio jumps like about 100%.
Nah, bro, dude. When the Fed starts cutting, dude, I'm not gonna press the green button, dude.
What I'm saying is whatever pump happens, like in all the wrestle and all the stocks that are not the big tech section. When those start to pump like to the level that most of my portfolio is up 100%, which already I'm at like 40-50%, right? So like it's pretty high already. I think then if you're up to like 100%+ on most of my stocks, then you know that like the time has come to sell everything. Probably I'll just probably sell the entire bag if it really like 2x's in that short period of time.
Yeah.
Do you guys have UME by any chance?
No, but I have Celestia. Yeah. It's a modular blockchain that's built for high throughput transactions.
Were you asking about ETH?
Was that no, GameStop, GME.
Oh, GME.
GME got rebranded. Some...
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
GME got rebranded to Coin.
So... No, it's a GameStop, the stock. Like
the... Yeah, they rebranded to Coinbase. They're gonna replicate the same price action that you saw in 2020 and 2020 run.
So there's a coin you're saying?
No. I'm saying Coinbase stock is gonna do the same thing that GameStop stock did in 2020 and 2021.
Yeah, apparently it does look similar to 2021, and then I think right after it's gonna look like 2022. I agree with them. They're probably going to start cutting rates in March, I think.
Yeah, it's basically like right at the halving. So my dubious speculation is like, if you look at 2016, we rallied towards the halving and then we went to Kingdom Come and then we basically V-shaped recovered. So, and I think they're going to cut rates like heavy, bro. I'm talking like full basis point kind of thing.
Jeez. And someone commented on the timeline there, like a lot of times what happens is equities drop when rates get cut. The counter I would make to that is that like we've never had this much cash in the universe sitting on the sidelines, more cash than has ever existed in like the history of man. And like, so the always concept of like you're going to automatically have like the market dump if they start cutting rates could go the opposite because everyone's expecting that.
But couldn't it dump before they cut? Like,
it almost doesn't matter. My buys are so low, it's like embarrassing. Like, I've pretty much beat everybody at this point. So I think the reality is like it won't matter to me. Yeah, like it could drop or whatever. Who knows? But it may not do that at all. It could just moon. Because like,
it'd be a good time to start selling like January, February, end of January, February.
Maybe I don't know.
Going all in on VIX.
Now realize like most of the stuff I bought so low that the dividend yields are just like extraordinarily good, so I could just leave my shit alone for the rest of my life and be fine too. So there's so people that bought the market that low really have no reason to sell at this point at all because there's so much cash in the sidelines and inflation hasn't fully priced into the market yet in a sense.
Have you guys also looked at IEP,
Carl? Steffi, did you see Biden posting about the stock market, bro?
Oh, I don't know. Who cares? Like, the Biden account, that's not him.
What's her name? Like, he was basically, like, I mean, it's basically propaganda.
Biden doesn't say anything, like, by the way. He's demented. Yeah. Nothing comes out of his mouth. It's out of his brain.
Basically saying how, like, we're at all-time highs and all that stuff. Even, like, inflation adjusted, we're still, like, 20% away.
I have it in my mind to, like, have the Surgeon General removed for malpractice. Because he should have already, like, recommended the removal of Biden, by the way, by now. Yeah, he has clear dementia. He's just a national security threat as far as I'm concerned. I might actually petition to have that happen. We'll see. He's like, it's gotten really pretty ridiculous. But the problem is the reason why they don't do that, by the way, the reason why they don't remove him is simple, because if you did, the problem is that it creates a rallying cry for Democrats to vote, and Republicans don't want that to happen either. So you want to like, yeah, so it's a weird kind of political situation, but anyway.
They vote anyway.
He's clueless, huh?
They're going to vote anyway.
No, but it rallies more. See, in the U.S., there's a lot of voters that sit on the sidelines who don't vote. It's not like a lot of other countries. Voter turnout's mediocre here. So what happens is those sideline voters will simply jump in if you do something interesting. So, yeah, you don't want to gin up the sideline voters for no particular reason, because, like, there's a pretty good chance he could lose anyway. So it's like, well, at that point, like, why do you want to mess with that? So that's why they don't do it. But, like, realistically, the Surgeon General should be, like, you know, like, it's like clear malpractice, essentially, as a physician. So, but whatever. They, like, obvious dimension.
They might use that as a reason to crash it. Like, if they pump it and he tries to take credit, and then they crash it and impeach him, maybe. Well,
yeah, he just, like, I don't know if he's going to take credit for it. He's demented. And, like he's just, like, it's whatever the handler's right for him, basically, is what he says. Interesting stuff. Yeah, his Twitter account is not controlled by him. Like, he probably can't even type anymore, more than likely, just judging by his physical movements. Yeah. So,
have you guys looked at also IEP has a, you guys looked into Carl Icahn's company?
I have his company stock. It got wrecked because of whatever happened before. Why do you think so? What's that?
Yeah, they're pretty much Hindenburg put out like a hit piece, said it's a Ponzi. I think he's working on something. Stock's at like 2004 lows.
Yeah, I had some small bags somewhere of it. I don't know why. It was kind of a dividend play that kind of went to zero, sort of. But why, you think something exciting is going to happen there?
Yeah, I bought some of that. I bought some GameStop. I'm expecting everything to start squeezing now until like January, February.
I don't know. Like, it's not clear that like the old meme stocks or the old meme coins will be the same.
Not all
the same. Another time.
Some of Bitcoin stock. It's never experienced a bull market. Never.
What has it?
Seffy, we gave the whole like play for coin stock on January, bro.
You mean Coinbase?
Yeah.
Right.
Like, if you're bullish BTC, why don't you just get like some coin calls? That simple.
Yep, that's what you would do.
It's actually that simple.
It is that
simple. The miners are cheap too, if you buy calls on the miners.
Yeah, I bought a little bit of Riot. I think I'm up like 50% on it. And then I bought a little bit of, I have some Coinbase and I have a few things left over. I sold some Coinbase after I'd got a multiple on it.
I knew that you said Dogecoin. Someone said Dogecoin earlier. It's at like 9 cents. If that explodes too, everything has all time highs.
Oh, you mean Doge? Yeah. Well, Doge, the thing is, it has a very high market cap. So, and it's highly deep liquidity. So the thing is, it's actually fairly difficult to pump the price. A lot of real money has to come in to pump that now.
Well, it can go up. Do something with X in it. So he's usually the one pumping.
So the three catalysts for Dogecoin would be, one is like it becomes a coin that's on X. The second catalyst would be the two satellite launches that are going to happen. They have two SpaceX satellites that they're coordinating with to do some shit. I don't know if they're going to have some funny mimetics there, but like Doge to the moon kind of a thing. And that's going to create some attention and pump a mental. So yeah, Doge is an easy one. Like, it's that's such downside.
That's such a dumb way to pump it. Call a rocket Dogecoin and just send it.
But this is actually happening. That's the funny thing. And so, like, so there's an actual thing happening. And with Elon involved, you know, and with SpaceX, and then, you know, he promised previously that, I don't know about promise, but he said he'd be interested in making Doge the currency of Twitter at some point or something like that. And so it's like, you know, it could happen, but who knows. But yeah, there's plenty of like, you know, gas in the tank for Dogecoin. And I think the downside risk has largely been taken out of it from the consolidation in the bear market. So I think like, yeah, could it dip? Of course. But at the same time, like its upside's pretty good. It's fine. It's a highly liquid coin too. So say what you will about it, but essentially it's a store of value at this point. It's a pretty secure hash rate, strong proof of work network. And, you know, it's whatever. Like, so it's not like a super high risk thing anymore, as dumb as that sounds. It's a relatively low risk, option to play the market.
And where do you guys think, like, how low could VIX go if like everything just pumps? What's the lowest VIX?
I don't know. I don't really mess. I don't trade the VIX at all. I have no idea. I'm not going to claim to be an expert on it, messing with it. No idea. Why you try to short the VIX or something or what?
No, I'm gonna hopefully I'm gonna buy a bunch of UVXY when SPY is going to, like, if it hits like high fives.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I would say the majority of my portfolio, I prefer to pick up almost sure things with a high probability of, like, real high upside, or not even just high upside, but like probability of, like, either high dividends or something else. And when it comes to, like, playing, like, those kind of gambles, I just can't do it with any significant amount of, like, size without, like, creating unnecessary risks. But I just don't like to pay attention to all that in all seriousness. I'd rather just be able to, like, click a button and go, oh, I'm going to get a little bit of that, a little bit of this, a little bit of that. And, like, and I just, like, it's like a video game to me. That's all it really is. But yeah, I don't do anything too complicated in stocks. Almost like I exclusively just buy spot. So I don't really even play options or any of that stuff. Anyway, well, hopefully everyone's, like, comfortable in their bags or whatever. I think we got plenty of room to run the next couple of years or however long. And hopefully all of your bags make new higher lows for the next bear market or whatever, and you're sitting there pretty with whatever you have, or maybe you trade it, sell it, whatever you're going to do. Just kind of enjoy the ride. The main thing I think, like, fundamentally for people that have been here for a whole bear market is, like, you just can't, you don't want to get too pessimistic in the sense that, like, oh, it can never go up again. You're in that disbelief phase. And so you don't sort of do anything. And simultaneously, it's like, Wabi said, like, you've got a good solid year of upside where the normies just haven't showed up yet. The Google search is just trending upwards now. Maybe the normie has money, maybe they don't. The newcomer has money, who knows? But, like, I think there's a fair possibility of, upside from here on. Even if there's a coming dip in the next, week or two, I think you still got plenty of room to run. And the main thing is just not to, like, trade yourself into oblivion and do something stupid. Just stick with most of the stuff you probably guys have already, if you've been here a while, is probably half decent. And all you have to do is just wait. Maybe some people outperform you. In fact, with certainty, other people will outperform you. Like, some people will be like 100x-ing something. I'm like, oh shit, I only got a 3x. Just count your blessings and kind of hang in there and do your best. But, like, what you don't want to do is chase other people's gains. That can create all sorts of drama. You can lose a lot that way. You win in something and then you buy something else and it dumps. Not good. So be careful out there. By the way, I'm going to get out of here anyway. Got to go do some dinner with the fam, and we'll try to catch up later.
Sounds
catch you later, Cap.
Motherfuckers screaming out loud, looking for mercy before they find themselves working a corner down in Jersey. What could be worse? Misrepresenting the first come first serve mentality stuck in the burbs. I'll be numbing up first before discovering what works, and we'll see what other kinds of trash is under the dirt. We rape them under the earth, sit and wonder about the worth and play ring around the rosy while the thunder is served. Motherfuckers walking around here looking faceless, trying to make a living selling friendship bracelets. Dead ants dragging out the max amount of payments. Red down days, got them acting all bankless. Yo fam, what? Check these tokenomics. They probing this bear, flexing broken knives. I had to lay my soul down, I'm just roasting knives. And then to end a long day, 11 bowls of chronic. Never known the politic, I was born to frolic. It's been my policy to pollinate all over the plot. We got a lot of apologists jumping in at the top. We like to measure their velocity before they hit rock bottom over impossible loss. It's all moss and I'm liking the odds. Fondue in the morning, forming mycological bonds. Flick the cap, though the road is highly involved. Flip a coin, diary falls. Motherfuckers screaming out loud, looking for mercy before they find themselves working a corner down in Jersey. What could be worse? Misrepresenting the first come, first serve mentality stuck in the burbs. I'll be numbing up first before discovering what works, and we'll see what other kinds of treasures under the dirt. We rape and plunder the earth, sit and wonder about the worth and play ring around the rosy while the thunder is served. Trying to figure out the max amount of dinner lace, stacked in non-toxic just to get a better place. Smacking on the hostage like this shit is play for keeps. Clowns, white knight, and all these Maybellines. They call it implausible when model after model keeps on ripping off the
sugarcoating, going full throttle. Beats tearing apart your community. All these low-hanging fruits bearing zero liquidity. Got a planet in reach, coming standard to each. I'm on the back 10, stargazing after the siege. Commanding all the management to grab a few Z's. And then we'll round up the beasts and send a messenger east. Y'all better sign a release when I'm bumping these beats. Hands up if I got motherfuckers drumming the streets. Yo, we got a few dubs, we got a couple defeats. And if you're coming for the king, you better have some of each. Motherfuckers screaming out loud, looking for mercy before they find themselves working a corner down in Jersey. What could be worse? Misrepresenting the first come, first serve mentality stuck in the verbs. I'll be numbing up first before discovering what works. And we'll see what other kinds of treasures under the dirt. We rape and plunder the earth, say and wonder about the worth and play. Ring around the rosy while the thunder is served.
Channel Spaces.